Welcome to another episode of Business Bombers. I am your host, Sheila Williams, and today's guest is a person that has been being an entrepreneur for several years. Her name is Darshelle. She's ran her restaurants and all different types of things. And today's episode is going to be really, really interesting because we're going to talk about a lot of those blunders that I want to give each and every one of you out there the knowledge so that you can do something different. So I'm going to have her introduce herself and tell you guys a little bit about her before we dig into the interview.
Hi, good morning. Well, afternoon.
Yeah, I know.
I just came out of a different time zone. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay. And for the record, for those who do not know me, my name is Darshelle, and I am the former owner, technically still a legal owner, of Taste Buds Las Vegas. Spell that out, Las Vegas. There is another Taste Buds out there. I am Taste Buds Las Vegas. So I started the business. The idea, the conception of Taste Buds Las Vegas happened a long, long time ago when as a child, as a Cajun restaurant. And me and another person, her name is Kia McIntyre, we came up with the idea in 2018, business plan in 2019, and she moved end of 2019. So I took on another business partner that I really didn't know. And there's the caveat to business blunders, and stayed in business for about 4 years. So a lot of trips and slips along that path, but we're going to talk about that, I'm sure.
Listen, y'all, if y'all go to her website, y'all going to see that I got butted. And don't be talking about me because I look a hot mess. But the potato was so good. You know, it really was good. But let's get into the business part. I had to put that out there because, you know, I have people all the time, I seen you get butted. And I'm like, yeah, I got butted. Okay.
The fact that people are saying you got butted,
yeah.
See, that is one thing I got right.
Yeah.
The trademark and the slogan, get butted with Taste Buds. Oh, yes. Yeah. And she got butted.
So I met you, I think it was like 2019, 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you came to me and I got to taste your food. It was good. And I continued to, you know, order your food, but I work with you and I work with you through a difficult time. And a lot of people, they will start their business. You started yours with someone that you had a common interest with and that you knew that it was going to work because you both were on the same page. And then when she left, you know, you partnered with someone was number one. You were in a relationship with, so it's almost like you could trust them. And I want you to talk about, you know, the partnership, where you went wrong, things that you should have, you know, noticed and you didn't, you know. And I think that it's very important to talk about this because a lot of times we partner with people that we trust, you know, and we feel like it's going to be good because we trust them. So I think that your experience is going to really shed light on a lot of the things, you know.
Yeah. First and foremost, I will let you know what I learned is put, and I don't know whose higher power is what, but if you have a relationship with the universe, if you have a relationship with your higher power, mine personally is God. Seek him first before you make some decisions and do not make permanent decisions off of temporary situations. And that's what I did. You're absolutely right. Met someone who claimed to have my best interests in mind. You see the air quotes, but there were so many red flags. And when you are in a relationship sort of kind of situationship, let's call it that because I don't like
Situationship.
Yeah, that's okay. Like,
situationship. I
don't like calling that,
I got that.
Yeah, I don't like calling that a relationship. That was total manipulation.
Okay.
It was. But if you see red flags, don't make a cape and start charging bulls with it. You can't fix that situation. When you see red flags, address them. Mm-hmm. Let them know that you see them. Let them know your concerns. And there's nothing wrong with a contract. Put everything you want in writing.
Absolutely.
So this is what I learned. And this is what I did not do.
And a lot of us don't do it because we're familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel like we can trust them. Like, you know, especially like if you're in a relationship or you're married, you feel like the contract is not necessary because you're in that relationship and you assume that you guys are on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I want to really get into it because I remember when you came to me and we put your financials together, and when I called you and I said, well, this is not making sense. And I sort of put it to you like you were trying to hide money, you know, and you're like, I'm not hiding no money. That is what it is. That's went into the bank or whatever. And so I remember you coming in and I'm doing the calculations and I can remember your facial expression like, what?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so talk about how that affected you, because now you're learning that what you worked hard for and the people that you trusted was basically taking everything for themselves.
So to be completely transparent, I'm so glad. I believe Brandon is the one that recommended you. And another chef, another owner, Ink Kitchen. And I'm glad that I listened. That's the one thing that I got right, was listening and coming to you. I think that we just said off camera about how you'll give people what they want, but you'll do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone wins. That's why you're called She Wins, because you gave it to me your way.
Yeah.
I thought I was coming in for one thing and she gave it to me like straight no chaser, that your money is being stolen. It's being embezzled. She did a forensic audit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute, I haven't been to a strip club. What is this? The credit cards and debit cards are being used as strip clubs. We're taking products back for inventory and getting the cash back instead of putting it back on the card so it can go into the account and we're pocketing it. It was like idiosyncrasies, I think that's what the word is. Little micro things that were being done.
Mm-hmm.
Because this guy would be bringing me receipts like this thick and would dare me to go through them and say, you know, I'm spending the money right. You can check it. And so I did. And she's like, no.
Wait, from the audience perspective, I got to ask. So you found this out because Sheila was going through your numbers and that's how you found out?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. All right. This is why people, if you own a business, come to She Wins. This is some, I hate to, you know, put it like that, but, you know, it's a lot of things that we don't know that hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they say knowledge is power, it is. It hurts. The truth hurts. It's not designed to, you know, comfort, but it is designed to give you an avenue in where you can make a decision. So I found out that money was being embezzled and stolen when I came here. And I would always wonder, where's all the money going?
Yep.
Why do I have to go into my personal bank account when we're making six figures?
Yeah.
And I never wanted this. You don't start a business for it to fail. And every single time I came to her, I'm like, what? I don't know what's going on. And she's like, are you sure? You don't know what's going on. Are you sure? Then someone in your camp knows. And that made me look. And another thing, you touch base, like, you know, we want to trust these people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I didn't from the, but the thing is, you start to think the problem's you, you know,
yes.
You've had mm-hmm. trust issues in the past and, you know, maybe you're, you know, being prejudgmental or something like that. And then when I would bring the topic up to the business partner, it was like, oh, you don't trust me. You don't do this. You don't do that. And I should have said, yes, I don't. But that's not what I did.
Yeah.
And so I cowered and I bowed down and I let it go instead of putting it in writing like I wanted to.
And I remember with you guys being in my office and I was going over the numbers and asking the questions. And I can remember you looking at him and he's like, oh, yeah, you know. And his answers just was not. It wasn't adding
way
up.
Left.
And, you know, and it got to the point where I was like, okay, look. When you have a person that knows numbers, right, I can look at a sheet of just so many different numbers and they say, find what's wrong with it. And it takes me all of a second to point at it. I've had situations where my staff is working on something and it's driving them crazy and they're off, you know, $50 or something like that, something small. And they're looking through all of the numbers and they can't find it. And then I'll get up and walk over and say, it's there. And they get so mad, like, how did you find that? And for some reason, for my mind and my eye, it stands out. So you can't bring me, you know, they were spending their cost for the food. Mm-hmm. Okay, on average, okay, it's not going to be over a certain percentage. Your food cost is not going to be over a certain percentage when it comes to the restaurant. Their food cost was like 65-75%.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that it didn't make sense because nobody's going to spend that much. You know, in a restaurant industry, their highest cost. And, you know, Tim, you can back me up on this. Their highest cost is the payroll.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
their
true.
Staff. That's the highest cost. And usually that's hitting close to 50%. So how can your cost for food overseed mm-hmm. your employees and things like that?
And I was working three jobs and I paid payroll out of my own pocket.
Exactly. And so then mm-hmm. when I brought that up, you know, and I said, the money is just not adding up. And the only way she figured it out, and this is another thing, you know, if you have an accountant or a bookkeeper and you are a restaurant and they never question you about your POS system, get rid of them. Because your POS system is going to tell you what is going down. And when she gave me the reports from the POS system, you know, I told her, I said, see, I, you know, and that wasn't even all of it because some of it was just going through and it wasn't even going in the register. It was going in his pocket,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I remember going over that and how upset and disgusted you were. You know, and I feel like it's important to discuss this because, again, we build relationships and we create this trust and feeling that, you know, this person have my back. But when it comes to business, you can't do that. Even with if it's your husband, you should have some type of document specifying who is responsible for what.
And we had that, and mm-hmm. he just flagrantly did not care. He would make business decisions. He would spend money. He would do all kinds of things. And I would go back, and I'm like, well, who signed this invoice? Who ordered this? Who did this? Why did you buy this when you don't have that buying power? And he was like, well, I'm here all the time, so you can't question me. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. But it would always blow up to be a huge argument. You were there. You saw a lot of times. If big red flag, ladies and gentlemen, and those who are non-binary, if they throw a fit when you just ask a simple question, mm-hmm. red flag. Don't yep. ignore it. Mm-hmm. Red flag.
Yes.
If they are yelling and screaming at you and you're just like, really? All I did was ask you a question? Something's going on. Don't be intimidated. Invoke your own power. Quit giving the quit putting all your confidence in other people. Put some in yourself, because sometimes you need that to stand up to Goliath, David. You do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
So do you feel? Well, actually, obviously, we're talking more about along the lines of you have to be aware of the red flags,
mm-hmm.
and obviously, you wish maybe you acted on the red flag a little bit sooner.
Mm-hmm.
About how long did it take you to make a decision after realizing what you were seeing was a red flag, that there was more behind it than just defensiveness or something like that?
I think when I actually acted on it, it was probably a few more months after she said something.
Okay.
Because I wanted, you know, to bring the proof to him. And he, at first, he was just being dismissive. He would be like, that's your friend. I'm like, I met her when you met her. So, yeah. Yeah. You know, stuff like that. She'll fabricate something for you. No, she won't. That's her job, to be professional. Yeah. So I met her when you met her. So, you know, and she, again, was recommended by someone that we both knew. So I'm like, come on now. But he had a way. And if they try to be manipulative, that's a narcissistic trait. Please don't ignore that red flag. That is the largest red flag. That thing is huge. It's
important thing for people to take from this is you had already established this, right?
Mm-hmm. It was my business.
It was your business,
right?
And so you allow him to come in. So I want to discuss some of that. Mm-hmm. You allow him to come in because you were working the other job. So you say, okay, you run the restaurant mm-hmm. for me in the day and I'll come, you know, and I would do it at night and we just work together. And now it's something that you created, something you put your sweat and you know, tears in. You created a name for Taste Bud. You went out there and say, I'm gonna bud people, you know, and you did that. And now someone that you trusted has taken your idea and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them about that.
Well, he would make it seem like he was doing me a favor. Oh, you work so hard. You don't have to come in. I got it. Me and the staff, because at one point I had 15 employees. So we were doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. And he came in and he was just like, no, the only time I want them to see you is, you know, when the big boss comes in and, you know, it'll scare him a little bit. And I was like, I don't want to be scary. I want to be approachable. I want us to grow and, you know, but, you know, when you're working like three jobs, mm-hmm. you are tired. And I would work on East Coast time. So you know, one of my jobs started at 7 a.m. East Coast time, which is 4 a.m. here. And during COVID, you know, you could work 2-3 jobs with 2-3 laptops and wear 2-3 headsets on your ears and kind of balancing. I looked like a phone operator. I was like old school, you know. But it literally kept the business afloat. I was giving, you know, 2 of my paychecks wholly and heartedly to just the business alone, just to make sure that the employees got paid.
Yeah, and then you learned that the business was making enough to mm-hmm. cover that. So you lost
you
sort
told
of
me
double.
It made over 6 figures and we weren't in even in what, July?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, what? Where's the money? So the employees were becoming disgruntled because their paychecks were always late, because I'm thinking that they were going to be paid and they weren't. And I had to, you know, circumvent. Yeah. I think what it was is we got a grant from, it was the restaurant revitalization grant.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge for us. That was a big win for us. And I was able to take care of so much. And then there was no money left.
Yeah, because you got the location. You got another mm-hmm. location, a sit-down location. But then after you did that and you continue to work, why don't you tell them what he eventually done with your idea your restaurant?
Look, you will not believe this.
Yes. I mean, we want to put it out there.
Yeah,
you know?
Because if you have a you won't believe this story, trust me, I will. So, you know, I'll believe you. I promise you. So we had a pickup and delivery type of business. So we were in a ghost kitchen on Pecos and North Las Vegas Boulevard, and it was going great, you know. We had everybody getting butted, you know. They would hold up the sign, get butted, you know. But there's videos on the on social media where everybody's talking about they got butted and they're happy. We actually had a food critic come to our location, and he did a whole segment there. And I think it's still on YouTube, LV Munchies, I believe. Edgar Alejandro was the host, and he came out, and it was a huge boost. It really was. It, you know, everybody talks about, you know, Keith Lee and mm-hmm. places like that. Well, we didn't get that opportunity because we moved into, I always wanted to go into a sit-down restaurant. Mm-hmm. I wanted to actually have fun with people. I wanted them to get butted. I wanted them to be able to, you know, get a liquor license, maybe throw a beer and a bud and watch the game and, you know, just actually, you know, bring your kids and, you know, whatever. Just a kind of like a think Applebee's, but not Applebee's type of thing, you know? Yeah. You know, I mean, when it comes to sitting down, feeling like you're at home and eating home-cooked food that makes you feel like, one customer even said that it brought memories of her childhood back, you know. I was, and people don't believe this, but I was taught how to cook real early because that's how, you know, people in the South, that's how they show love, you know, bring your kids in the kitchen. Let's, you know, show you how to do this and do that.
Oh, my family's the same. Don't worry. I know.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, and I was blessed to have my great grandparents, my grandparents, you know, showing me all the ropes of the kitchen. So to actually, I remember a story. I told my grandmother, I was like, you cook so good. Why don't you open a restaurant? And she said, I'm Black, honey. They're not going to let me open a restaurant because it's in the South and, you know. So, and I told her, I said, I'll get you a restaurant. I'll get you one. I'll open one. And I made good on my promise.
Yeah.
All these years later, the 8-year-old kid in me was able to deliver that promise to my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And then it was ruined because yes. I gave that promise away. But this is what happened. So we, ironically, it's over there where the other Taste Buds is now.
I was going to say that because mm-hmm. We're going to peel back the curtain a little bit for the mm-hmm. viewers.
Please.
When I heard about this, I Googled it and I got two Taste Buds.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. is the other one connected to you at all?
No, not to me.
Oh.
He went over there.
I think I jumped ahead.
Yeah. He went over there. But now this guy's Taste Bud, his started after yours, right?
I believe so, yes.
It started
and then
afterwards.
They started selling potatoes. And I think on their social media, they even have on there, if you can't beat them, join them or whatever that other Taste Bud says. And we looked, I was like, what?
How did that exactly come to happen that he started a whole nother restaurant?
No,
with
he's
name.
Not one of the owners. I think he went over there and he gave them ideas.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, he
sort of stole her idea.
Yeah, and then he called himself a business consultant. You see the air quotes again, right? Yeah, business. He actually was. He started a business consulting other people as well, mm. other business owners, and they would pay him a fee for that, and then he would ghost them. He would just. Be like Casper and disappear.
Yeah. He was a real shyster, mm-hmm. you know, and then by the time she found out, he was giving up her recipes and everything.
Yeah, recipes that I had had from, like, I know the gumbo recipe. In my grandmother's recipe book, it has a date of September 2nd, 1829. So, you know, definitely not his. But number one, we're closing out our lease on the ghost kitchen, and we're getting ready to move. He's nowhere to be found. I'm moving furniture. My family's moving furniture. The employees, we're moving all of our stuff into this new location. We don't know where he is. He took a trip. No money, but you took a trip. Then we go into the other location a couple of days later so we can go ahead and start, you know, opening up, cleaning up, rearranging and everything, and, you know, hooking up the equipment, making sure that everything is good to go. I paid all this money for the first deposit, first month's first and last month's rent and everything else, and we had the inspectors come out and we got the go ahead, the green light to get started. We go in there, all of our equipment is gone. He sold all of the equipment. He sold our ovens. He sold our steam tables. He sold our refrigerators. He sold our prep tables. He sold everything. Everything was gone.
Yep.
Nothing was there. So then,
for the audio listeners, my mouth is on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah. We went in there. And I had one assistant manager I trusted with my life. I believed him. He was like, I'm watching him put money in his pockets. And he was like, no, I just reimbursed myself for gas. Was always an excuse. But when we went in there and nothing was there, my mouth dropped too. First we found out that he took all the money.
Yep.
And so that was like, okay, I'm putting everything on my credit cards and stuff. We're going to get these inspections rolling. I'm going to get my people back, you know, because they are waiting. They have bills to pay, rent coming in, and they have no income. So we got to get this restaurant open. Yep. So no money in the bank. We can make the money opening up. And then we go in there. We can't make the money because we have no equipment. So we have no equipment, so we can't make money. We can't buy equipment because we have no money. And that's was the end of Taste Buds.
Yep.
So for a lot of listeners, I've still got my website. I will still cater. I will still, you know, do any and everything. But that will take a lot of confidence out of your sale when you know you had a great, viable business in the heart of, you know, a city that the world comes to. And it's taken from you just like that.
It was due to trust. I remember, you know, you told me to come out and see your location to get my first bud. Okay. And I remember getting there and I was calling you and you were at the store because you were opening and he was supposed to had went and got all of the grocery because he had spent the money and she had to go to the grocery store before they literally opened. And at that time they were using the Uber Eats and all of them, DoorDash. Mm-hmm. So they had orders in the system that need to be prepared. She had a line outside that was picking up their order, and she was at the store trying to get all of the stuff to make all of the orders. And when she got there, of course, they had to prep it, and it was a little late. And she was just like, you know, just give people some stuff free because they had to wait. And I remember her being, like, really mad because she lost a lot of money. Because he told her, we got the food, we got everything. So she opened, like, and then when she got there, they had nothing. She had to go to the grocery store. So, you know.
And that was a huge complaint. That, especially that day, it was all about, you know, the wait times and food was late. And I had, it took 2-3 hours to get my food. And that's why, because I literally thought we had everything the way he said. And it, we, I thought that I had plenty of inventory, my, my people. And when they called and said, we don't have anything.
Have nothing there. Yep.
We don't have anything. And yeah, I
believe. She had to get off work, run to the store and do that. And so, and yeah, you know, I remember
his mouth
having
was on the floor again.
I know.
Sorry, I'm literally just like.
But and yeah, I would rather give away free food than lose a loyal customer.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of hard because, you know, when you're a mom and pop, when you're first starting out and things don't go right, of course, people will write a bad review or people will, they'll say, I'm going somewhere else. Well, number one, I'm still the best bud maker in the business. I don't get it twisted. When it, I will pop my collar and I will challenge anybody who makes potatoes, stuffed potatoes, come see me.
Okay. All right.
I will do that.
All right.
I will do that because the concept was mine. I brought that to Las Vegas. Yes. I did. So, and my recipes, original recipes, I'm from the South, born in the South, raised in the South. I can, I've been cooking since I was 6 years old. I can't, nobody can touch me.
Yes.
So let me just put that out there. If you want a good stuffed baked potato, you can still go to tastebudslv.com. That's mine.
Tastebudslv.com
is mine.
Yeah.
But, and it's not the other, people, please quit writing Google reviews for the other Taste Buds on my page. I have not tried them yet. I'm sure that they're a great establishment, but if they are or are not, write it on their page. They are Taste Buds Creole Kitchen. Look for Taste Buds Creole Kitchen, not Taste Buds LV. That's me. So Taste Buds Las Vegas is still legally mine. So, but give them their props or whatever, but take it over there. Don't give it to me. Don't. That's all I'm saying. So I have to tell people that all the time. They're leaving Google reviews for the wrong Taste Buds on my page.
Yeah.
And
but yours was started. So like sometimes, you know, to be honest, sometimes people will just Google and they'll say Taste Buds because they're not going to put, you know, Taste Buds Creole or whatever. It's usually
I thought it was ironic
first.
That there were two.
Yeah.
And even they had reached out, I think, to the old business partner.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's how they made their connection. But they were like, why would the state issue two Taste Buds? Well, it's not really two Taste Buds. One is Taste Buds Las Vegas and one is Taste Buds Creole Kitchen.
Yeah.
So
and confusing. If you change it.
Yeah.
And that's another thing people need to understand when you're opening your business. If you don't trademark that name, then anybody can use it. So like for me, my attorneys is on my back now. Saying you need to train trademark She Wins, you know, and I will, you know, and there's another company out there that's using She Wins, but she was not able to put it together like one word. She had to put she and then space wins, you know. So to me, it's like, why do I have to trademark? You know, she'll never be able to use it the way
yes,
that I'm
can.
Using it because I
can.
Got it with the state. You know, she would have to put something behind it. She couldn't just put, you know, she win. She could do she win without the S. And in all honesty,
but it just
I think that it's,
your fan base.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that it won't fly, even if they tried to put an S because I tried, you know, and it wouldn't allow me to do that because the IRS will stop you. Soon
yes,
as you
will.
Know, you're putting everything in and you're thinking you're good. And then at the end of it, you get an error.
Mm-hmm.
And that error usually, I forget what the code is, but somebody already has that name.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to let you do it. But I went, when I did the speaking event in Atlanta last year, and there was an attorney there and she saw that I was on the panel or whatever, and she looked me up. And she says, you know, this was an attorney. She says, man, your name is so unique. And she says, and the whole your whole setup. It's very professional, but it's unique. You should trademark it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm getting that from a lot of people. And if I trademark it, then the person that has the, she has a nonprofit and it says she wins, but it's for something else. If I did that, she would have to change her name. Mm-hmm. And the funny part about it is it was sent to me by somebody else. And she's using my colors and everything. I'm like, really?
Sometimes it's coincidence and sometimes it is not. So,
because you can see when she started versus when I started.
Mm-hmm.
So I started in 2015. She came in 20-something, 2020, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And the colors, that's not a coincidence. The colors, gold and black, come on. Okay. And then the whole pictures and everything. And so when it was sent to me, it was sent to me by my niece. And I think she just wanted to say, hey, look at this. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's nice. And she's like, you're not mad? And I was like, no, I inspired somebody this morning.
Mm. That's a great, that's a great spin on it.
I inspired like someone. That. So, you know, hey, have at it. You know, so that's the only reason why I haven't is because I just feel that right now what I'm doing is meant for me. If it wasn't, then it wouldn't move forward, mm-hmm. so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for me, it wouldn't move forward. So I'm not going to worry about that. But in your case, you know, because when I first came to you and I Googled Tastebud, there was not another one. That came after the fact. I know that for a fact. It came after the fact. So, you know, I don't know if they copied or whatever. And then they didn't do potatoes.
No, they didn't.
They didn't do potatoes.
The potato, idea, I believe, came from the business partner that
he took her idea over to them.
Okay, so they don't, but they don't work with the potatoes at all, though.
That's not their. From what I understand, that's not their biggest seller. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know how to cook soul food better than probably half of people, and I'm not knocking anyone who cooks soul food. I will come and get some. Bring me a plate. I will get some. I love soul food. But I'm just saying that I put me in the number with the collective that can actually really, really cook soul mm-hmm. food. I just haven't had theirs. So I'm not saying that it's, you know, one way or another. I've heard some pretty good things about their soul food. And so that is from what my perspective, that is their biggest seller. I always hear about oxtails. Oxtails are going to be for me. They're too expensive for me to buy and prepare. I don't want to charge people that kind of price, mm-hmm. so I won't do it. But, you know, hey, if you're hungry, I got you.
Oxtails is literally my favorite dish.
Okay.
Absolutely, it is.
I just Dominican
Republic is not far from Haiti. So.
Oh, it's not?
Dominican Republic's on the same island.
Oh, you know.
They share the island.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I had. Now, this is the funniest thing, you know.
But I heard their oxtails are good.
Well, oxtails is supposed to be a soul food, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of the soul food. Tell me why I had it and I didn't like it. I didn't like the texture of the meat. I did not like it. And I tried it.
You'll have mine.
I tried a couple of different ways. And they were like, oh, it's going to be the best. And literally, I ate a little bit and I had to literally spit it out. I didn't like the taste, the texture of it.
This is still related to the topic because your business with food. So we're going to stay on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how did they prepare it real quick? Was it like a stew and it was off the bone or was it still on the bone? How did they prepare it for you?
I think it was like a stew.
Okay.
Because it was still on the bone and you had to bite it off the bone.
Bite
and
it off. If it fell off.
But yeah. Even the meat, like when chew I toy, put it, it in there. And then, you know who. Well, another friend of mine, she goes to Jerk Chicken. I think it's called Big Jerk. And she got some oxtails from them. And she's like, here, taste this. This is going to be so good. Now, I had their jerk, all of their food. Okay.
You may not just be an oxtail fan.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I did not like it. I mean, literally, it made me want to, like, in my mouth, I felt like I wanted to throw up. I had to spit it out.
So you just don't
I just didn't like the texture of it.
And that's fine. I'm from the South, and everybody's like, I can cook fried okra. I will not touch it on my palate. I will not let it
Too slimy?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. But, you know, maybe it's because I was force-fed it as a kid so much, you know, because we literally grew our own vegetables, mm-hmm. like, fresh. Like, my grandmother, we were out in that garden all the time. There was nothing that we didn't grow. Right. So, but with that being said, if you got too much, guess what? They're going to cook it, and you're going to eat it to death, and you're not going to like it anymore. But because I know how to cook it, and my family loves it, I won't eat it. Fried green tomatoes, I won't touch it. I'm sorry.
I like fried green tomatoes.
See, you like them, but see, I don't. And again, it's probably because I was force-fed it as a kid. I went to Hawaii, and they were like, try our Hawaiian this or that. And it was Spam. I was force-fed it as a kid. No disrespect to anybody. But when you are force-fed certain things growing up, you're just like, I'm over it. Yeah. No, I'm good. So I used to eat coconut, like, my grandmother would shave it, and I would just take a handful and I would just put it in my mouth. I would just eat it. Now I won't touch it. So it's weird. As we grow up, our tastes change.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm still a beast in the kitchen. I still got you.
Okay,
you know, mushrooms and stuff like that, I can make. Mm-hmm. I will not eat. So I get it. Yeah. You don't like oxtail.
That's why I was like.
And see, a lot of people rave. I have heard a lot of good things about the other taste buds and the oxtails and stuff like that. I just haven't. I have not had their food.
Yeah.
I just honestly have not had it.
Due to the fact that he stole a lot of your stuff and took it over there to them. And now they're selling the stuff that, you know, was once your, you know, your mark for your restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? I want to ask
you real quick. Inspired.
Going back, she said, inspired. going back to that, because obviously you have huge pride in food, and I know you love good food and everything like that. And you mentioned there were other issues we didn't even get to touch in on, like, stuff that was going on in the restaurant you didn't know about, like with the employees and some reviews and stuff like that, or things that were being done that wasn't the way you would have had it.
Right.
How important is it for a business owner, especially like I work in food industry as well, to know what's going on in their restaurant?
Oh God, it's so
food wise, employee wise. Like, but obviously, you didn't know everything. That's where a lot of this problem came from. How important is it for a business owner to be aware of what's going
on? It's critical, because your reputation is tied to your brand. So if you don't know what's going on, then you look like you have no clue. There, how can anyone have confidence in you if you don't know what's going on? If you're clueless, I can't trust you to, you know, I can't trust you to take care of your business. How am I going to trust you with my business? So that's another thing that I would tell anybody, be on top of it. I don't care how many other jobs or how many other businesses you have going on. Be on top of your brand. When I was in there, and I was in there all the time, things went so much smoother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She told me, she was like, you're going to have to be in your business all the time. I would take my work computers to work. And I would, you know, I would just have to make sure I listened, but I'm cooking. And one good thing, again, I have this one assistant manager, love him. I taught him everything I know, but I guess I'm still better than him. So... they were getting behind on orders, and I was like, move out the way. And he was like, no, Miss Starshell, I got this. I said, move out the way. You can help, but move. And I pushed those orders out like that. He was like, dang, don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. Don't. Yeah. And it's not fast food. Let me just make that clear. It's not fast food, but it's food made with love and passion. So if you don't have that passion, you're not going to push it out. You're not going to get right. it the way mm-hmm. that, you know, I feel like I can. So I have to tell them that, you know, like his name is Q. I love Q.
I remember him.
And I would let him know, look, my vision is to own a couple of these. And so if you want to be part of that, if you want to run your own and make life-changing money and be like a general manager or something like that, you got to own this like I do. Mm-hmm. And that's why I loved him, because he was like, let's get it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. he was there. He was committed. And other people, they were there for a job. But he saw a bigger vision, and he brought two family members with him to actually join the crew. One saw that vision, but one wanted to switch up things and be his own chef. And that doesn't work. Not when you're in my kitchen. Yeah. So, you know, but, hey. You know, he had, you know, he got him straight and stuff. But I remember this one night where it was me and Q on the line. And what I do is I have stuffed baked potatoes. If it doesn't go to your from my wrist to the elbow, I don't want it.
The whole potato?
The whole potato. I get these massive baked potatoes. And everybody's like, where do you get them from? You think I'm going to tell you? So, you know, there's no steroids or anything, you know, but they grow bigger than your hand. So, you know, yes, naturally. But, yeah, I look for the biggest ones. Like the ones that restaurants on the strip will reject because they're too big. Give them to me.
Yeah.
So I do prepare the regular sizes, and then we have the large. So, you know, regular sizes is one price, large is another one. But
you had the mini ones too, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the russet potatoes. I call them bud babies. So yeah. I can make what we call a Goliath, which is, you know, I can make them bigger and bigger where you could feed your whole family off of one pan of stuffed potato. And it would be my original recipes. So nobody could duplicate anything, you know. And the I think the biggest challenge for me is I took it to New Orleans. Well, I have family in Baton Rouge and Kenner, Lafayette, and then up in Southern Louisiana does mm-hmm. not claim Northern Louisiana. I don't understand why, but, you know, and into Southern Arkansas. So I took taste buds on the road, and we actually did the county fair, and over 2,000 people got butted. And it was beautiful because my hometown, my people, who are the toughest critics about Southern cuisine, because they know it, they live it,
yes,
they breathe
they
it,
sure
they cook
do.
It.
They sure
they know what flavor is supposed to taste like. They all gave me kudos. I loved it. They called me the hometown celebrity. I walked through and they were like,
you going to go there and you're going to be a celebrity now.
Well, they call me the potato lady. Yeah. So I don't even have a name anymore. That's the potato lady. So, you know, in my hometown, it means more than it does in Las Vegas because those are your people. Those are the real constituents. If you can please them, you can please anyone.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. in Las Vegas, you know,
you have a lot of Southerners, a lot of following.
Mm-hmm. You know, but the most important
I love my
thing
follow.
Is,
I have oh, yeah. they still they're inboxing me like, where are y'all?
Yeah.
I went to the location, you're not there. Where are you? I need a potato. I have to have a potato. Don't do this to me. I actually read those messages and I'm like, oh my gosh. So the plan is to bring it back bigger, better than ever. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that, because you have been making me hungry for the past, I don't even know how
long. Ask her. Ask her.
And I wanted to know, are you going to reopen this place?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
She's going to help me.
And the most important thing, you know, like, I appreciate you coming on the podcast, you know, but I want people to take from this, number one, that you had a passion, you had a good product, number two, you know, you trusted, and in that trust, you know, you lost everything mm-hmm. because you felt like it was something that, you know, you could trust. And people have to be careful out there when you're doing your business.
Absolutely.
And you have to remember, when it's your business, you know, you started it. You're the backing for it. Mm-hmm. You're the one who's putting me in all of the work, man hours or whatever. So to basically take your business and put it in somebody else's hands, in my opinion, right.
It's suicide.
It could be suicide.
It's business suicide.
And you have to, even if you know, because I'm at that point now where I've created and I'm sort of like letting other people take over, but I'm never not going to be here. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to look and say, hey, don't send nothing out without me looking at it first.
The approval.
I'm still mm-hmm. reviewing. I'm still looking at things. And you know, so you have to remember that when you're having your business, you know, she said it best. Know who you're doing business with. Know that you have a contract, a something in place saying mm-hmm. what your responsibility is, what that person's responsibility is. Make sure that everybody within that partnership or whatever understands, especially for you, those of you that's doing a partnership with a silent person, because a silent partner will come up in and they'll say, oh, I'm just going to give all of the money. But then once they see what you've done and they see the money, all of their input becomes the most important. And they want to be involved in stuff that they never said that they wanted to be involved in. So,
and can I add to what you're saying as uh-huh. well? Ladies, gentlemen, and non-binaries. I have to be.
I said
you know,
everybody.
Everybody. Let me go ahead. You know, it's all inclusive because everyone is intelligent enough to receive what I'm about to tell you. Don't buy it's intellectual property crap. Don't do that because I was fed that and so I believed it and it made me weak. This gentleman took over the social media and mind you, he did an awesome job. Let me just make that clear. In order for Taste Buds Las Vegas to get as big as it was that quick, it needed a social media following. It needed to get out there. It needed, you know, the Google ratings. We need to show up first on, you know, searches and stuff like that. He did all of that and it was brilliant. You can pay people less than what I lost, okay, yeah. for the same thing if you have to. But if you don't know about it, if you don't know what you're doing, you can hire people who will respect the fact that they are hired and respect the fact that they are earning your business, and they'll do a great job for you. And you don't have to trust somebody who says, well, this is my intellectual property. If you don't make me a partner, I'll shut it all down and stuff like that. Because that is another thing that happened to me. Yeah. I felt like I had to do certain things. I had no choice. I felt like I was locked in. You know the elephant syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. The, you know, when the elephant is little and it's chained, it can't break free. But then once it gets big enough, it doesn't know it can break free. Yeah. So that literally was my problem. Reading is fundamental. If you know how to pick up a book, I'm telling you my mistakes. Because this is what the topic is about, the failures, the blunders, mm-hmm. the problems that we have foresight. Now we can see ahead because we couldn't see it back then, because back then you feel like that person has now taken over your business and you now work for them. Mm-hmm. But read how to build a website.
Yeah.
Read how to, you know, engage with social media. Meta is a beast. Read how to, you know, be on top of things, or get with someone like Sheila who can help teach you, you know, what you need to know. Because when you really find someone who doesn't mind sharing the knowledge, those are your people. That's your tribe. When I would ask, you know, even how, and I know how to control my own POS system now, mm-hmm. of course. I can go back and I can run reports and I can look at everything and I can do it all myself now. But then it was controlled. And I was told, you know, I'm not telling you just so you can get rid of me. I'm not going to do that. And so I was so limited. it was like I was the business owner, and the only thing I was good for is paying bills and cooking.
Yeah.
So no one should ever make you feel that way. Right. If you feel that way in your business, go back and check yourself before you check other people, because you're the problem. If somebody's making you feel that way, nobody can make you feel that way, my dear, my queen, my king, my non-binaries. Nobody can make you feel that way. Go back and do some checking, you know. And when I say checking, I don't mean just checking on, you know, your business. Check yourself. Mm-hmm. Get your attitude in check. Get your self-esteem in check. Get your knowledge in check. And then go take your rightful place at what you started. And don't be mean or obnoxious about it. Just let them know, okay, well, assert yourself. I'm going to go ahead and this is what I'm going to do. And make sure you follow through with what you said you're going to do. If you want to be more involved in your business, do it.
Yeah.
And like Sheila said, I pray that you grow. I pray that you multiply. I pray that you have so many, you know, spinoffs of your business that, you know, God is going to continue to bless you. You make sure that those people, like Q did, like Sheila does, you make sure that those people share your same passions, mm-hmm. and that they're not taking advantage of you, so you can trust and you can relax a little bit. And so, but never forget that it is your responsibility to make sure that you are not in the red.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She said it so well, people. And I do want to say we are at our end. You know, we have to, this episode can go on because there's so much information in here, you know. But before we close, you know, Tim, did you want to ask her any last questions? You know, because I was going to give her some time to talk about what she's doing now. So.
No, I was actually going to go that way, too. I was actually going to ask, so where are we going at now?
Yeah.
What are we looking at?
Well, right now, I put, and I know that I've made a lot of my customers unhappy, and I'm sorry, but I just finished up my master's degree. Mm-hmm. So I was so close, and I'm like, you know what? Let me focus on, you know, those measurable goals that I can actually do something with. And I'm happy to say I did it. And so I graduated last week.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So I just started with a new company last week as well. So some big first in just a couple of days. And now I'm actually looking at funding. Another little bit of advice. Quit answering the phone for every person that says they got funding for you, because they're trying to take over your business.
Yeah.
So anyway, but
that's a whole nother episode.
Yeah, I'm gonna let her do that with somebody else. That's not me. I did not do the. Okay. But I'm just saying. So but I am looking into raising business capital through grants and funding. And I want to, I'm not even going to waste time. I'm going to open up a brick and mortar location. And this time we're going to do it right. I'm hoping, yes. Q, if you see this, I'm coming for you, wherever you're working at. I'm bringing you back. So, but this time is going to be bigger, better. We're going to have some fun. I learned, I had some great mentors like Sheila, who runs her business. I want to give a shout out to DB from DB's Cajun Kitchen, Trina Giles with Grits Cafe, Chef Jeff Henderson with the Chef Jeff Project. They all took me under their wing and they were like, look, we need to get you back.
Yeah.
And those are some big, heavy hitters here. Sparkle Allen and Devin Moore with Go Urban Las Vegas. They all also own Mariposas. Mm-hmm. These people are just like, you disappeared, you need to reappear. We're not Houdini. We're not doing no magic tricks. You're coming back and you're going to show what you can do. So
you done found your village, girl. You gone ahead.
I did. Like, so, when you fall, the thing is, when you fall from the mountaintop into the valley, you check and see who's coming looking for you. Yeah. Those are your people. So mm-hmm. they were like, no, we're lifting you up. Let's go.
Yes.
So
how can the people find you now? So they listening to this podcast or they're watching this podcast. So now how can they get in contact with you? Because I know you're close, but I'll contact you and I'll be like, girl, I need my bud.
She does.
I need my bud.
I'm about to be right there.
She got my personal number.
She'll say, okay, I'm going to bring dinner for you. You don't have to do it because I still get butted. Even though mm-hmm. she closed, I get butted. But anyway, how do they
get
a hold of
you? How do I get?
See me. I'll get with you after the podcast.
No, you got to give it for everybody.
Okay. Well, I was going to give him my personal number.
She don't give me food. Yeah.
I'm going to give you my number so you can get butted. So you can call me.
Yes.
If you got my personal number, you already in. Then you're getting
you can
butted.
Get butted. Yeah.
If you got the number, that is like the Batman signal in the
sky.
You
know you have Isabel in there still waiting on her potato. As I told her that you was coming on, she was like, I ain't never get my bud.
Okay. I'll ask her what kind she wanted and I got her. But for everybody who's watching and listening, I still have the website. You guys can message me. People keep messaging the other taste buds, though, so I just mm-hmm. ignore them. I'm just going to be honest. I read every single last message, and if it has nothing to do with me, I don't respond. So that's why you're not getting responses, guys.
So it's Taste Bugs Las Vegas, right? LV, right?
Yeah, LV. TasteBudsLV.com is the website for Taste Buds Las Vegas, not Taste Buds Creole Kitchen, guys. So mm-hmm. you got to know who you're trying to reach.
And what's your personal handles for, like, your Instagram and everything?
It is, now it's Get Butted. And I'm going to change, and that's another thing. Trademarking is important. I did trademark Get Butted. So for all of these dispensaries, don't use it. I'm coming for you. I need to get paid. But I was the...
Oh, my God. I just got it.
Did you right. just get that?
I just got it. Yep. I'm a little slow. Yep. Okay?
I trademarked. It's the hashtag Get Butted. The USPTO told me that I was the second person in history to trademark a hashtag. Mm-hmm. So it's hashtag Get Butted. If you look it up on Google... hashtag get butted, I promise you, I am going to show up, period. So, you can leave a message on the website. You can also still call 702-551-BUDZ, B-U-D-Z. That's 702-551-2839, BUDZ. That is me. So now everything is going to change to Get Butted. I'm not going to go under Taste Buds anymore. If you are trying to get butted, then you're going to go Get Butted, period. But we're not going to mix up the two anymore, period.
And nobody can steal it this time. It's hers.
Not a soul. Every recipe has been trademarked. That is an expensive process. Mm-hmm. I had 28 original recipes. Now I've got 32, and all of them had to be trademarked.
Oh, wow.
So, yes.
That's good.
I learned it's taken a lot of money and a lot of time, but we're going to do this right this time.
Okay.
So we have you coming back after you open this place to tell us how that went, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So y'all heard it.
And I want you guys
to come
to the grand opening. I'm going to have a big grand opening, too.
So. And when we go to the grand opening, we might have some
You know what? You could do this here at the grand opening if you wanted to.
Don't give me too many ideas, all right?
I'm just saying. But yes, we're getting everybody butted. You know, hashtag get butted. Yeah. We're going to have a wall just like this beautiful wall, and it's going to say Get Butted, where, you know, of course, we'll still have the signs you can hold up, but...
You won't have red carpet, because I need to be on the red carpet when I get butted the next time.
Yes. Right,
sure. No,
with a whole banner you're going to stand in front of. Hey, Get Butted. Get Butted. Yes.
So, guys, I really appreciate you all tuning in and listening to another episode of Business Fumbles, and I want to thank each and every one of our listeners. Do not forget, people, if you're listening, comment. Tell me where you're from. Tell me, you know, your experience. If you are a business owner and you want to sit here on this couch, hit us up. We want you here because we want to get the information out there. Because as I always say when I end, knowledge... An experience means nothing if it's not shared. So tune in next week for another episode of Business Fumble.